And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Mr. Servando Gonzalez. And Mr. Gonzalez had called me, sent me some material. And as we read his material, I find a kindred heart, somebody who can look beyond the obvious to begin asking what is really going on. One of the things that has puzzled me a great deal is Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez, of course, we're told, is a nasty communist, and of course he's uniting South America against the United States, and yet that's exactly what our leaders want. They want to unite South America. Of course, we can't do it. But, of course, Hugo Chavez can do that because, of course, he's uniting South America and the South American countries against the United States, and they're letting down their trade barriers, and they're beginning to trade with one another, which is exactly the purpose of the globalists in the Northern Hemisphere. And Hugo Chavez can do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And, of course, he's supposedly a friend of the wicked Fidel Castro, but then the wicked Fidel Castro was a friend of David Rockefeller's daughter. And if you don't believe that, you need to read David Rockefeller's memoirs, and he will tell you what a good friend his daughter is of the wicked Fidel Castro. In fact, the wicked Fidel Castro has even met with David Rockefeller. And those of you who have seen my video, World Revolution, if you haven't, you need to, because you'll see there my interview with Ambassador Smith back in 1980. Ambassador Smith was a billionaire who was actually the American ambassador to Cuba in 1958 and 57. And he was there at the time we turned Cuba over to Fidel Castro, and we knew he was a communist. And none of this makes sense. The Bay of Pigs doesn't make sense, because, of course, we sent those men in to die, not to try to win. They had no way of winning. We put them in the one place in Cuba where they could not possibly get off the beaches, and then we failed to give them air cover. We failed to provide them with supplies. Why would we do something that stupid unintentionally? Well, let's talk to Servando, because, of course, he has some fascinating thoughts on this. Servando, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about where you're from and your background?
Yes, I would like first to thank you for bringing me to Radio Liberty to talk to your listeners and to you. And I would like to begin with three questions I would like to ask myself and ask. The first one, why I'm here. And I am here because I promise you that I would like to talk about some unknown pieces of this puzzle.
All right, fine.
Because this is a puzzle, and the conspirators made this puzzle because they don't want us to know. And these are very important pieces that not many people are aware of. Who I am? I am a historian and a writer and a novelist and intelligence analyst. And I am the author of several books in Spanish and in English. One of my books in Spanish called is Heretical History. I'm translating into English the title. Heretical History of Castro's Revolution. That is like a comic. Was published in the United States and Mexico. And then I published a couple of years ago another one that is the first one of a trilogy. I'm writing on Castro. The title is The Secret Fidel Castro, Deconstructing the Symbol.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a minute, because Fidel Castro is a symbol. Everything is illusion and delusion, and
Absolutely. Most
of what you think you know is not true.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Servando Gonzalez, who is a historian and is a writer. He's written a number of books, and he had contacted me recently. Apparently, he had heard some of the things I was saying, was tended to correspond with some of the things that he has been studying for a long period of time. And, of course, most of what you think about what's going on just is not true. It is all illusion and delusion. You probably think that Fidel Castro is the enemy of the United States, but as I often say, if Fidel Castro is our enemy, why did Bill Clinton send 125 heavily armed man SWAT team down to Miami to kidnap Elian Gonzalez and deliver him to Fidel Castro to build up Fidel Castro's image, not only in Cuba but throughout the world? Why is it that if Fidel Castro is the enemy, and people try to get across that 90 miles of shark-infested water, and they're within sight of land, and they're picked up by the Coast Guard, they're sent back to Cuba, where they may very well be imprisoned or lose their rights, or who knows what will happen to the people we send back. So why are we, in many respects, supporting Fidel Castro, as we always have going back to the very early days when the United States brought Fidel Castro to power? And if you've not yet seen my video, World Revolution, and my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba we took back in 1980, you need to get it, you need to watch it, you need to understand we knew Fidel Castro was a communist, and we brought him to power. So, Vando, you pick up the story there.
Yeah, I was telling about my books, one of them is The Secret Fidel Castro Deconstructed the Symbol. Another one is The Nuclear Deception, Nikita Khrushchev and the Cuban Missile Crisis. Those two are in English. And they are academic books. And then last year I published my first novel in Spanish. And I'm going to translate the title. It's The Mother of All Conspiracies, a novel of subversive ideas. And the third part of the novel begins on September 11. Now I'm working in another novel that I have titled, this is in Spanish also, Mind Games, a novel of psychological warfare. And another one that is another book that will be the second volume of the trilogy on Castro that I have titled Fidel Castro Super Mole, Walking Back the Cat in the Cuban Operation. By the way, there is a long article that I wrote in the internet since I think 1985 that is called Fidel Castro Super Mole. It's available in several parts of the internet, and I suggest your listeners to take a look at this long article, Fidel Castro Super Mole.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Servando Gonzalez, and we're talking about his idea that Fidel Castro was a super mole. Would you like to develop that idea? Because most people would find that very difficult, that Fidel Castro has always been our man. But just as, you know, we found out recently that the head of the IRA, the number two man in the IRA, was really a British agent, that the man in the IRA, very high within the structure of that, who tortured and killed people who were suspected of being British agents, and I don't know how many tortured to death and killed in the years that he was in the IRA, it turned out he himself was a British agent, so things are very seldom what they appear to be. And you're suggesting that Fidel Castro was a super mole. Please develop that idea.
Yeah, that is because I wrote this as a known saying in intelligence agents, that things are seldom what they seem. And I began suspecting that things were not right after the Bay of Pigs. Now, I wrote in this long article, Fidel Castro Super Mole, was sort of tongue-in-cheek speculation. And I based on what is called the mirror image theory. And I speculated that the same way that the CIA had a chief of counterintelligence, Jesus Angleton, who believed that the KGB, James Jesus Angleton, who believed that the KGB had infiltrated a mole into the CIA, there should be the equivalent of Angleton in the KGB that I call Angletonovich, who believed that the the CIA had infiltrated a mall into the Soviet camp. And that mall, of course, was Fidel Castro. And then in that article, I give a lot of information. But about 2 years ago, I found a person, a Cuban, who he was one of the attackers, invaders in the Bay of Pigs, and he was the last Cuban who left jail that Castro liberated. And he wrote a book, and then I interview him, and I have his interview on tape. And he claimed that in early 1948, he was working for the CIA.
You're talking about now Fidel Castro was working for the CIA.
No. This man in Miami, he was working.
Oh, he was working for the CIA. Okay,
fine. He was stuck in front of a house where in an interview was going to take place.
All right, fine.
And that interview attended Fidel Castro. That was in the house, in the residence of Mario Lasso, who was the lawyer, Cuban educated in the United States, who was the lawyer for the American embassy in Havana, 1948.
Sure, and in fact, he wrote a book called Dagger in the Heart.
Yeah, Dagger in the Heart.
Right.
And then there were a lot of very interesting people there, most of them OSS, ex-OSS, and you know, the CIA was created in 1947. And then they recruited Castro, and his friend Del Pino was, and they were sent to Colombia, to Bogota in April, and then participated in the assassination of leader Gaitan and triggered the events that we know as the Bogotazo.
And of course, at that time, they seized the radio station, and Fidel Castro went on there on the radio and said, "This is a communist revolution. This is 1949.
Yeah,
this is a communist revolution, and I am Fidel Castro from Cuba."
Wait a second. That is what William Pauley said, that he was in his car. But most likely that was not true, because Pauley was in this meeting where Castro attended, in the home of Mario Lasso.
Okay.
And the thing is that they sent Castro there because they, as an agent provocateur, to blame the communists for the event. Now, let me explain myself. The thing is that when this happened, was taking place in Bogota, the 9th International Conference of American States. And George Marshall was presiding, was there, the central figure in that activity, and the goal was to put pressure on the different Latin American states to begin a fight of communism. Keep in mind that the conspirators, they had lost Hitler, and they were looking for a new enemy, and that new enemy would be the Soviet Union that they had created. They helped to create. Now, but most of the leaders of these Latin American countries, they didn't want to go into that direction. And then they used a psychological warfare tactic, most likely developed in the Tavistock Institute in London and used by the OSS. That consists in, you have two fears, and you have two ways to go, like two doors to go. And then you want people to go for this door, and then you create some fear in the other door, and people choose the less fear or the less complicated solution, and you force people to do that. And then they kill Gaitan, most likely Castro participated, and then Castro was an agent provocateur. He was not a communist. He has never been. Now, let me explain this. That depends on what do you think is communism. If you think that communism is a theory developed by Marx and then by Lenin, he has never been a communist. Or if you believe that communism is a theory developed by the monopolist capitalists to better exploit the workers, he has always been. Keep in mind that the person who said competition is a sin was not Karl Marx, was not Vladimir Lenin, but John D. Rockefeller.
And I think, of course, if you look at Russia today, you have a ruling elite. That's what it's always been. They talk about redistributing the wealth, They're redistributing the wealth of the people. You have a ruling elite that has unlimited access to all sorts of resorts and the best cars and the best wine and the best women and the best homes. You have a ruling elite, and we have been supporting Russia since its very inception, going back to 1918. And anybody who doubts that needs to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We simply give you the references to the books that were written at that time, telling how we supported the communists. The people didn't want communism any more than the people in America want a communism, any more than the people in Cuba or in China want communism. And yet, who is it who's building up and maintaining the ruthless regime in communist China today? Why, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the operation was a total success. The delegates were so scared with the murder and destruction that they signed, and that was the creation of the Organization of American States and the beginning of the Cold War in Latin America. And my theory is that the Bogota so happened by chance in Bogota, because this conference was taking place there. It had nothing to do with Bogota, not even with Latin America. That operation was actually the PSYOP was actually directed to put the fear of communism in the American public. Was a PSYOP directed against the American public. And this type of PSYOP or psychological operation has been so successful that they keep using over and over and over. Let me give you an example. Gay marriage. Are you listening to me?
Yes, I am. But
gay marriage.
Oh, gay marriage. Okay, go ahead.
Gay marriage. So, gay marriage. What? Didn't look you strange that at a moment when most young people in the United States don't get married, one, and second, a moment when most people are scared because of this Office of Homeland Security and all the things that the gays. Suddenly, they're launching this heavy operation in San Francisco. Okay, that was a PSYOP, in my view, because at the time, most truly conservative people were getting very upset with our actual president. And then they used the gay marriage. By the way, San Francisco mayor was a heavy contributor to Bush in his first campaign. They launched this to scare the conservatives with the gay marriage, and they vote again for Bush. Okay? And now we have a similar operation going in Latin America, that is the Chavez-Castro coalition scaring the people in Latin America.
You're talking about the Chavez-Castro coalition, that the wicked Chavez is working with the wicked Castro, and they're plotting against America.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Of course, we have kept Fidel Castro in power, and anybody who doubts he meets and has met with David Rockefeller, get David Rockefeller's memoirs, where page 404 and 405, and he tells about how his daughter is such a good buddy with this ruthless, tyrannical people who slaughtered 15,000 people when he came to power. But our CIA just has never been able to do anything about him. In fact, they planned to kill him with an explosive cigar. Well, they had another plot. They were going to put some powder in his shoes and make his beard fall out. And if you read the things that the CIA was supposed to...
You are not supposed to trust the CIA nor Castro, and this is the only source of those supposed assassinations.
I think it's so ridiculous. If anybody really believes that they're going to try to kill Fidel with an explosive cigar or embarrass him when his beard falls out, if they really wanted to finish, off Fidel Castro, they would have killed him when he came to talk to David Rockefeller. But that wasn't the way the game's played, ladies and gentlemen. The game's not played the way you think it's played. Well, Savander, you go ahead with the story. And Chris,
I was telling you that this Castro-Chavez advances in Latin America is another psychological operation to scare the leaders in Latin America.
And
the fear of Castro, Chavez, and communism, and they are going to be so scared that they are going to sign the CAFTA, Central American Free Trade Agreement. They already signed, and then the FTAA, Free Trade Agreement of the Americas. That is the beginning of the American Union. Like we have the European Union, and the plan is to have the American Union.
But I said the way it looks now, you know, certainly I would agree that our major goal is to get the CAFTA and FTAA in. But actually, I think that Hugo Chavez is going to be able to unite most of South America against the United States. Certainly, he's getting support from Brazil, and he's getting support from Bolivia, and apparently from some of the other countries down there. He's got three or four countries, I believe Uruguay is going along with it. But many of these countries, because of their fear and anger towards the United States, are joining with Chavez. So many of these countries are headed by hardcore Marxists that we have helped to get into power. And so they're going to unite the people down there, and they're going to unite South America. And then, of course, once they're all united, why, by one means or another, we'll be able to go in and just get them to unite the whole of the Western Hemisphere. But it's very hard to get these people in South America to give up their sovereignty. But we're going to convince them that they have to, because if they don't, the wicked Yankee is going to get them. And, I mean, they play games with the minds of the people in South America. They play games with the minds of the people here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And we always have to have something to be concerned about. We've got bird flu. I mean, here we have a disease that's probably killed about 140 people. Heavens, we've lost 500,000 here in America from AIDS unnecessarily, another million infected. And what do? We're focusing on the terrible danger of bird flu, which has been around for, well, since 1959, exactly the same flu. All sorts of people in China and other Asian countries have antibodies to this, and they've obviously been infected and immune, and yet we're told, oh, it's got a 50 to 70% mortality, and they're intentionally frightening us to death. And when you understand that, they're playing games with our mind. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But one thing that I would like to make a distinction is when we say that these people are anti-American, we need to agree that they are playing the game of some very powerful people in the United States who are also anti-American, because for the people who want a new world order, that is total war control, the United States of America has become the biggest obstacle for them, and they want to destroy this country. That's the only thing that explains the problems in the border. Don't blame Vicente Fox. I didn't vote for Fox. He's not my president. The one who needs to take care of the border is our government, not the Mexican government. So why we open the border? Because they want to destroy this country.
And I think you're
that's proof of it.
And I think you're absolutely right. Why is it that President Bush has been president for 5 years and suddenly he finds there's a problem with the border? Or he finds that it's against the law to hire illegal aliens? Why didn't they do something before?
You want my...
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Servando Gonzalez, and we're simply talking about what's going on today and how, well, we were just actually talking about the immigration invasion of America that is designed to disrupt and destroy this country, and pointing out that President Bush has been president for almost 5.5 years, and yet he has steadfastly refused to secure our borders. He steadfastly refused to enforce our laws and arrest employers who are hiring illegal aliens knowingly. And this is some of the biggest employers in this country, like Cargill and Tyson and others. So why suddenly now is he so concerned about immigration? And they're playing games with our mind. And they're not going to secure our borders. And they're not going to arrest the people who are hiring illegal aliens. And they're not going to do away with the catch and release program. And they are not going to stop this illegal immigration. I think that Servando really believes, as I do, that the immigration invasion is designed to destroy America. So
absolutely,
pick up the story.
Absolutely. This is treason. This is the only name for what is happening here is treason. Now, there is another big tie-up And this, for this, we need to blame both the right and the left. I call the true Communist Party of the United States of America is what I call the Republican Party, that has a faction of called the Republican Party and another faction that is a Democrat Party, but they are the same actually. And then there are people like some pseudo leftist radio host that they try to make the idea and that just by changing the people in Washington, things are going to change. Like there are some people on the left that they are with the same idea. Now, did you see by chance this documentary 9/11 by this guy Moore?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you know me. You're talking about Michael Moore.
Michael Moore. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I'm an open-minded person. I went to see, and there is a piece of the clue in that documentary that he missed and is there, and I never saw before, and is that there are some images never seen before because the TV channels never run this, nobody, that you see Al Gore, that as vice president, he was the president of the Senate. And then he's in this session when most people, some women are very angry because Bush, they say, stole the election. And then the person, the man who the election was stolen, who the president was stolen from him, he totally stop these people from speaking. He stonewalled this person who were trying to protest, was trying to, and then my conclusion was that of course Gore was part of the charade.
Well, so much of what goes on is a charade, and of course what they try
like
to do
Kerry,
is
Kerry was part of the second charade.
Right, of course, he comes from the same secret society. I mean,
yes.
There's only about 800 members of the Skull and Bones.
What is interesting is that these people, they seem so sure that now they are bold. They are not, because at the beginning they were covering themselves very well. In the last election, we have two different candidates. One of them was a Yale graduate, member of the Skull and Bones Society and the Council on Foreign Relations, who cheated on his military records, and the other candidate was exactly the same. They couldn't be more similar.
In other words, he was a member of Skull and Bones. He wasn't a member of the CFR.
Kerry, member, Jed Radwade, member of the Skull and Bones, and the Council on Foreign Relations, who cheated on his war records. I wrote an article that is in some places on the internet that is called, Ship Dipping, CFR style, the Kerry and what's the name? This guy, the Pentagon Papers. What's his name? What's the name of this
guy? You're talking about the fellow who wrote the Pentagon.
No. Who brought the papers to the Daniel Ellsberg?
All right,
Daniel Ellsberg.
Of course, that was back during the.
Those are pseudo-leftists, the Vietnam War,
right? Okay, go ahead.
So those two, Kerry and Ellsberg, were pseudo-leftists that were created to play some role.
Oh, sure, well, of course. It wasn't just by coincidence that Daniel Ellsberg just happened to come from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations.
He is now a member. That as a mother of fame, and made him a member. And, of course, he got the papers when the same people who planned and involved us in this war was never supposed to be winning by us, who betrayed us, and they decided that it was a time to end the war.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Servando Gonzalez, and Servando has made a very, very good point, and that is that Daniel Ellsberg, who brought out the Pentagon Papers at the end of the Vietnam War was playing a part. He, too, was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and that whole thing about Watergate was as phony as a $3 bill. I mean, can you imagine? Here are these CIA agents, highly trained spies, and what do? Why, they borrow a camera from the CIA. They break into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. Instead of simply taking his file out, they ransack the entire office. They trash the entire office. They take pictures of one another with the CIA camera. And then they return it to the CIA, and they forget to take the film out. Now, how many people honestly believe that the CIA is that stupid, or at the Watergate, break in? Why, of course, the first time they went in, why, they put tape, on the door latch so it wouldn't catch, and they would be able to get out. And then, of course, the guard found that and took the tape off. So they go back again, and they put tape on a second time so the guard will find it and report them. Could they really be that stupid unintentionally? It was all a fraud. And, of course, the time came then to get out of the war, and Daniel Ellsberg comes forth with these stolen government records. Ordinarily, he would have been sent to prison, but he was playing his part. And, of course, it was time to get out of Vietnam. We had done all the damage we could. I mean, we'd been funding the North Vietnamese during the whole war, so we would have an enemy to fight. We'd transformed America. We'd changed the immigration laws. We'd taken God and prayer out of our schools. We'd found a woman had a right to an abortion. We had centralized power in Washington, D.C. We'd actually changed our monetary system, had taken us off the silver standard, we'd done away with anything except a fiat money system, and the time to end the war. And so Daniel Ellsberg comes forward, and I agree with you, you're the only other person I've ever heard say that, Servando.
Yeah, and I'm now in I'm currently working in an article that is becoming too long that I'm going to title Kiss Your CIA Goodbye, and I forecast that the CIA will fade into oblivion. Probably it will not disappear in paper, but will play no role in intelligence or in any. And let me tell you,
the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services. So pick up the story there, Savannah.
Yeah, at the end of the war, Truman disbanded the OSS. Probably under pressure from Edgar Hoover of the FBI, that he feared the creation of an intelligence service. Then Donovan went to see Truman and Ford, but nothing happened. And then, do you know where the CIA began? In a clandestine form, in a secret, was Alan Dulles working in a secret room at the Pratt Mansion, the Pratt House in Manhattan.
Are you speaking of the Harold Pratt House, which is at 5080 68th Street there?
Yeah, the Council on Foreign Relations.
Okay, I can believe that.
That's where the CIA began in a clandestine form.
And, of course, Alan Dulles was one of the founders of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah, and he was a senior guy at the Council. Now, When finally they forced Truman and Truman approved in 1947 the creation of the CIA, the CIA had and always have had four directorates. One that is intelligence, another one science and technology, another one that is support, and another one that is called plans, that then they changed the name to operations, and now it's called clandestine services. That is really the military arm of the CIA for paramilitary operations. Now, keep in mind that the CIA always fails in intelligence. Always. That is always happens. They didn't inform us about September 11. They didn't inform us about the Bogota. So they fail in the Bay of Pigs. They fail and fail and fail and fail. Okay? Now, but the director of the CIA, with the exception of the first two, until Alan Dulles was a named director, have always been members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And the directorate of clandestine service have always been in their hands. Why? Because the conspirators need an army. And they created their own secret army inside the CIA. So this whole CIA has never been working for the United States of America, but for the conspirators. And in the CIA, the only thing that really was important for them was the paramilitary operations, clandestine service. Okay. When I say that the CIA has never worked for the United States, for the people, I don't mean that the people, all the people there are traitors. No, I think that most people there are truly American patriots, and they believe that they are working for the American people, but they are not. That is why they never pay attention what the people in intelligence and other branches bring to the government, because that's not important. The CIA was not created for intelligence, but for clandestine operations. Now, they keep in mind that these people, what they use is the technique of infiltration. They infiltrated first into the Department of State, State Department, and they infiltrated into the CIA. Why? Because in the 40s and 50s, they had no way to infiltrate the real thing, that is the army. In the army, there were many true American patriots who would not betray the American people. But now, they have full control of the army. If you go to the internet and you check the current list of CFR members, you will see more than 30 generals. So now they control the army. So they have the real thing. They don't need the CIA anymore. What do you think about that theory?
Well, I think it's very interesting that they're going to turn the CIA over to this general at the present time.
Yeah, they have now the real thing. They don't need they don't need the pseudo army. They don't need it because they have the army. They don't need that.
And of course, I'm very, very concerned that the military is collecting dossiers on all American citizens.
Yeah.
Why is the military collecting dossiers? Well, we know that the NSA is collecting dossiers. We know the FBI has dossiers and the CIA has dossiers. My goodness, they've got more dossiers. But why aren't they tracking down the wicked Osama bin
Laden? I don't know, Dr. Monte, but I am scared. I'm very scared because I escaped from Cuba 26 years ago with my family, my wife and my son that was 6 years old in this at the time. We escaped, we ended up in Switzerland. We lived about a year in Zurich before coming to the States. And now things that I saw in Cuba, they are repeating. It's like deja vu, like a film that I saw before. Actually, in 1960, because Castro took power, but at the beginning we didn't see exactly what he was trying to do. We thought that was just another nationalist leader trying to save the country from corruption. And we needed something like that. Batista was, he was not a tyrant, he was just a dictator, corrupt, nothing more, just a little more than Nixon, I would say. But not that bad. There was a good economy in Cuba, and if you didn't get it in their way, they didn't care, they didn't bother with you. Now, the thing I saw in Cuba, so at the beginning, 1960, there was a big explosion in the Bay of Havana, and then we learned on TV that a French ship called La Couvre that was bringing arms and ammunition and explode in the Havana Bay, a lot of people were killed. Next day, Castro went on TV, and he accused the United States, and specifically the CIA, of terrorism. And he created immediately the Ministerio del Interior, that is the Office of Homeland Security, and the neighborhood informers. You remember the TIPS program that never took place. And then he abolished habeas corpus, and he trashed the Constitution.
And, of course, this is sort of what's happening.
Does that ring any bells to you?
Yeah, well, it's exactly what's going on in America today. In the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who we've never tried to catch.
Exactly.
In fact, you know, of course, we've got this terrible terrorist movement, and yet with a completely open borders, there's not been one major attack on the United States in over 4 years. You would think that they might be able to get at least one attack going on here, but, I think there was one Iranian who drove his car into a group of students. But of course, if Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden is really so powerful, why haven't there been any other attacks? And the truth of the matter is, if you go into the background of this whole Al-Qaeda movement, and the Taliban was all financed by the United States and the CIA from its inception.
If they exist, I have no proof that Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden exist. I have no proof. I'm very skeptical about these things. I never heard about Al-Qaeda, and I'm not sure about this. Really, I'm not sure.
But of course there is a radical Islamic movement, but that was funded first by British intelligence and now by American intelligence. And of course, we have to have an enemy. And now, of course, we're going to go to war with Iran, and we're going to use that as a justification for taking even more freedom away from the American people.
Let me tell you something. Do you know that the Council of Foreign Relations has a very important magazine called Foreign Affairs? Foreign Affairs. In my novel, I published last year, there is a character who calls Foreign Affairs the Pythonist. You know who is the Pythonist? I don't know how to pronounce it in English, the Pythonist. Woman in Greece who saw the future.
Like a medium of some sort.
A medium.
Right.
Okay? Because everything that happens in this country, you go and you search 10 years before, and it's there. There is an article by Samuel P. Huntington called The Clash of Civilizations.
Everything
that is happening here now was in that article 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
Right, of course, he wrote the book, and then, of course, he published that article in Foreign Affairs magazine.
The civilization was planned at the Council on Foreign Relations. That's what we are seeing now. Now, let me tell you, this is very important. I have the theory that Castro's Cuba, rather than being a communist, I think he's more of a fascist persuasion than communist, but that Castro's Cuba is actually a testing ground for the coming new world order.
Well, that may very well be a good point.
Why I say that? Okay. United Nations Kofi Annan, David Rockefeller, James Wolfensohn of the World Bank, Peter Peterson, Maurice Strong, UNESCO's Federico Mayor, they have told in different occasions that Castro's Cuba is the model to follow. So this Cuba destroyed totally because Castroism has destroyed physically and morally the Cuban people. You have no idea the destruction in this country, and they see that as the model to follow, as the war of the future. Okay. Now, why Cuba and not Mexico or Guatemala? Because before Castro, Cuba was probably the country most likely, most similar to the United States in the world. And I have some proof of that. The marketing companies in Madison Square discovered that the Cuban public was so similar to the American public that they used Cuba to test products. Do you remember, I think they still use this cleaner that we use in the kitchens called Ajax?
Ajax, yes.
Okay, we had in Cuba 6 months before you had in the United States. They tested in Cuba. Did you know that when Castro took power in Cuba, there was in Cuba a national system, the whole island system, by microwaves, unique, communication by microwave, unique in the world. Not even in the United States, we have this thing. They were testing in Cuba. There was a big processing ore for nickel. A new plant, wonderful. They never finished it. When the Russians engineers came, they were shocked, and they began taking photographs. They had never seen something like that. They were testing the technology in Cuba. So Cuba was a place where American companies tested things, technology.
Well, of course, on the other hand, we've also used China for social experiments. In fact, when David Rockefeller returned from Cuba, pardon me, from China, in August of 1973, and we have the article he actually wrote in the New York Times at that time. Now, by this time, they'd already killed 100 million people, starved to death 43 million between 1958 and 1963. But a decade later, in 1973, David Rockefeller writes this article for the New York Times, in which he says, you know, they may have had some problems over there in China, but the social experiment in China, under the direction of Chairman Mao, is one of the most important and successful in history.
The social experiment in China
under Chairman
Mao.
How
many people killed Mao Zedong?
Right, about 100 million by that time.
Okay, that's the goal of the New World Order people. They want to kill 95% of us.
Right.
That's why they love China, they love Castro Cuba, and they love Hitler, and they love Stalin. Okay, and this is the governments have killed. That is called democide. The government killing their own people. They have killed more people, governments, their own people, than worse than the enemy. And that's now a final information about Cuba as the model to follow, and who is actually Castro. So, at the beginning, I never bought the idea that Castro was a communist. He was linked he was a student at the Colegio de Belén, linked to the Jesuits and to the Catholic Church, and he was never a member of the Communist Party. In fact, the Communist Party of Cuba, the true Communist Party, not Castro, was very strong, and they hated Castro since he was very young. And then, one day I was with some friends, and then I'm talking about 63, 64 in Havana, and somebody came with a book. They said, "Fernando, take a look at this book." A book in Spanish, and it was a biography of Joseph Goebbels. And then, reading there, I found out that Goebbels mentioned that Hitler, in his trial for the frustrated push of 1924, that he ended his self-defense speech with the words, "Condemn me, the God of history will absolve me." And then I said, that is impossible, because Castro ended his self-defense speech for the attack at the Moncada garrison with the very famous words, "Condemn me, never mind, history will absolve me." And then I said, this can be. And then I checked, and it was a book in Spanish published in Argentina in 1955 or 56, I believe. So it could not be a fake. Then I said, this is weird. And then I began checking and said, oh, this guy is actually fascist. By the way, Hugh Thomas, in his wonderful book about Cuba, he mentions that Castro is more akin to fascism than communism. And that was my theory for many years. But then I have changed. Castro is not a fascist. He's not a communist. He's actually a new age guru or avatar, whatever. His true thing is he's a new age person.
Well, of course, Servando, my contention is that everything really ties into this spirituality. I believe that
absolutely,
the major driving force behind everything
absolutely
going on today, behind the Rockefeller Foundation, and behind the Rockefeller family that's been involved in the occult for many years, and we see, of course, Stephen Rockefeller writing the occult document called the Earth Charter, along with Marie Strong, who's involved in the occult,
and
Gorbachev, who's involved in the occult.
That has to do with Elian Gonzalez, because most people are confused and they believe that Castro is involved with Santeria, this religion, this African origin religion in Cuba, and he duped me for many years also. But now I say no. And the one who gave me the hint was this: my wife. I remember that in the 50s it was John, and then the Beatles records were prohibited by the government in Cuba. They caught somebody with one of the records of the Beatles or listened to the music, and they sent the person to jail, confiscated the records, and that was it. And then about 6-7 years ago, in a park in Central Havana, they developed a statue of John Lennon. And Castro himself went to the inauguration. And I say, hey, what is this? Is he crazy?
And we were having a statue of John Lennon.
John Lennon, yes, in Havana. And right. Castro himself went there. Now, have you heard this John Lennon song, Imagine?
No, I don't think so. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Servando Gonzalez right here at Radio Liberty. Yes, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Servando Gonzalez. But do you have a website or information you'd like to
know? No, I don't have. Actually, I create websites, but I don't have a website. But I have, just search on my name, Servando Gonzalez. Just be careful, there is another Servando Gonzalez that is a famous Mexican film director. So you're going to find me, and because I have articles even in Pravda, not the Communist Pravda, but the Internet Pravda, articles in Warner Daily, in News with Views, in a lot of places that they have reproduced my articles on several subjects. So I was telling you about this John Lennon song, Imagine. Imagine is a plan for the lyrics are a plan for the new world order. Say, imagine a world without borders, without God, without religion.
And that sounds just like what the George Bush is planning with rebuilding the North American community, a North American community without borders. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And then I began researching in this. Do you know that when the Sox grab this boy in Miami, Elian Gonzalez, they brought him to a secret institute in Virginia, I believe that is a New Age place.
I think it was the Aspen Institute, wasn't it?
The Aspen. Okay, you are right. The Aspen is one of the so. And there are a lot of things that we don't know, but we guess. We're never going to have all the pieces of the puzzle, but they are enough. So Castro is really a New Age avatar. He's a secret agent of the Rockefellers and the Council on Foreign Relations, and working for the New World Order. And of course, this is actually a battle between good and evil.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. It took me a long time to realize.
Yeah, this is the core of this is a battle for the soul of man, for the soul of humankind. That is what it is.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. I think your material that you sent me is really great.
We need to be strong in our hearts and to fight the things.
Amen. Well, we will give you a call, and we'd like to get you into some of our other programs so other audience can hear your views, because, I think that you have encapsulated very, very clearly the true nature of the battle. It's not between communism and capitalism or right and left. It's between God and Satan. And believe me, Satan's
Absolutely.
People are alive and well and working at the highest levels of our government and right in the White House today. Servando, God bless you. Thanks so very much for being here.
Oh, thanks to you and your listening.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed the interview with Servando. I just got a lot of great information. I've really enjoyed reading some of the things he's written, and you will do well to go up on the Internet and be able to pull them down, and perhaps we can have him on again and explore some of these ideas. But his concept that we're involved in a spiritual battle is absolutely right, and you need to understand that. We are truly involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. You'll learn a lot if you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you get my video or audio tape or DVD by that same title. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. To really understand the background of how we brought communism to China, you need to get our 4-tape set on China, and I will promise you it is one of the most unforgettable experiences you'll ever have. Our 4-tape set on China is a classic, and it will change the way you perceive the world. So if you'd like to get that 4-tape set, actually, part of that was a talk that was given over 60 years ago by Reverend Mellon, who'd been imprisoned and tortured in communist China. and when he describes what he went through, and the similarity between what he experienced and what is going on in America today. The communists wanted to know everything about him. They were tracking him. They knew how many shirts he had in the drawer. They knew how many pairs of socks and how many underwear. And believe me, they're keeping dossiers on you. Do you know that they keep track of everything you buy in the store? Do you know that everything you buy at the food store, if you buy with a check or with a credit card or with a grocery card, all those records are there. They're keeping dossiers on you. You really need to get a four-tape set entitled China. You need to get the book we carry, Spy Chip, going into the background of the RFID technology and all the technology that is being compiled out there to learn everything about you. And then, of course, you understand that behind all this are powerful spiritual forces. You need to get our four-tape set on the supernatural. And I suggest you get that along with my interviews with the author. The book is called The Beautiful Side of Evil. The four-tape set is called The Supernatural. You need to get them together. And you need to read them. You need to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle that's going on. I mean, we're being told, oh my goodness, you can't speak out against what's happening in government. Of course you can. This is America. And it is not our country that's bad. It's that the wicked people from the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and these other organizations have taken over. Have you ever seen the logo of the Council on Foreign Relations? It's a man riding a pale horse. Have you ever seen the logo of the Trilateral Commission? It's a circle with three sixes where they join in together in the middle. Why? It's an upside-down broken cross. If you doubt what I say, go to your computer and Google in Trilateral, or you can actually put in www.trilateral.org, trilateral.org. And then, of course, the World Future Society, their logo prior to recently, after we began talking about it, was a circle with three sixes in it. They love that 666. They understand what's going on. They believe the Bible. They just happen to worship the other side. You need to get a copy of the Earth Charter, and you can pull it down from the Internet, or, of course, you can get that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus or in some of our other material, or you can just call us and ask for a copy of the Earth Charter. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I should tell you, we are primarily listener-supported. We do need your help and support, especially at this difficult time. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and look at all the various items we have. We do carry the Berkey products, but I also would mention that, you know, you can listen to our program there 3 hours a day directly and on the Internet and 4 hours a day on shortwave.